Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to see you all here this morning. Hope everybody had a good week last week. Look forward to a good week this week that the Lord has blessed us with. I just wanted to, just a few little announcements. Let's always continue to remember those that we're praying for, all of our loved ones that aren't here. Just keep them in our minds and our thoughts and in our prayers, especially Sister Marcella as she continues to recover from her injuries and trying to get her health back in store. So let's keep Marcella and Don in our prayers definitely as we'll go to God in prayer here in a little bit. Also, we'll just keep in mind all of our friends and loved ones that are, you know, either having to deal with different situations, or I know there are many people that, you know, have people in their family that are dealing with sicknesses, or maybe have had family members or loved ones that have passed away recently for various reasons. So we always just keep in thoughts and in prayers those that are not only dealing with situations, but dealing with losses of loved ones as well. So just keep that in mind as you go to God in prayer also. But again, it's good to see you all here this morning. Glad for those that are able to join us online. And we'll look forward to a good service here of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Before we get started this morning, if you would, bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you've blessed us with. We're thankful that we can be here this morning, to be able to gather here, to be able to share in this time with one another, to be able to worship you, to be able to sing songs of praise to you, and to be able to study from your word. And we're, again, thankful that we can be here. We're thankful for the health that we have, dear Lord. And we're mindful of our loved ones that aren't able to be with us because of health concerns, dear Lord. Please be with them and give them strength and give them good health as you will, dear Lord, so that we can hopefully see them again real soon. We're especially mindful of Sister Marcella as she continues to struggle and recover from her injuries from her fall. Please be with her and give her strength, give her encouragement to be able to get through this time. And please be with Brother Don as he takes care of her and tends to her. And again, give him strength to be able to do that. And just please be with them and please be with us to be able to help them in any way that we can, dear Lord. Please be with all of us that, you know, we all, I think, know ones that are struggling with health, or maybe they're in situations that is a problem that might be dangerous to their health, dear Lord. Help us to be mindful of those and give those strength and give those encouragement. And for those that have family and loved ones that are sick or maybe have lost loved ones, please give them comfort, give them strength to get through this time. But please always be with us, dear Lord. We know that you are our Father and that you care for us, and we're so thankful for that. As we come to you in worship this morning, help us to lift our voices and our thoughts to you, dear Lord, and help us to do that in worship, worship in spirit and in truth, dear Lord. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So I'm always looking for songs to sing here in a theme, and I had songs all picked out today until I saw Brother Bobby's lesson, and I did a complete turnaround, so I've changed all my songs, so that's great. I'm glad we can do that, and so hopefully the songs will go with Brother Bobby's lesson here today. And our first song this morning is going to be "O Worship the King." What a great song to start with, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to come and worship our Lord. And the verse that goes with this song, "Our Lord and Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to whom be honor and power." So truly, when we come here to worship God and worship our King, you know, we need to do that with everything that we have, because he is the ruler in our life. We need to give him the honor and respect due to him. So we're going to sing all three verses of "O Worship the King." All right, let's sing.
O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful King, light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Amen. See, what a great song to start with. That's a good one. We think about all that Jesus is to us. I like how that song ends. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Our next song this morning is going to be Jesus is Lord of All. Like the verse we read earlier, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we're going to sing all three verses of Jesus is Lord of All.
All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions and all my life. Jesus is Lord of all of my conflict, all my thoughts. Jesus is Lord. Love wins the battles I could not have fought. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. And all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my longings, all my dreams, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my failures, His power redeems. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all Jesus is Lord of all.
Amen. Our song before Brother Bobby's lesson this morning is going to be He's My King. I just could not sing this one, especially Lloyd being here. Every time I hear this song, I think about Lloyd up here leading this one. So I could just have you come up and lead it. He's smiling. No. So that's something, you know, we think about this song, you know, that's really a proclamation. He's my king. You know, that's something that we need to be going out every day of our life. You know, we're trying to live by a standard. You know, we're trying to live by God's word and understand that Jesus is the ruler in our life. And that's the standard that we have in our life. So we say, He's my king. You know, that's something that we're really proclaiming that, you know what, this is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live my life for my king. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be singing the first and third verse of He's My King. And Brother Bobby will have our lesson this morning. Sing.
All day long of Jesus I am singing. He's my song of joy will ever be. All the while He keeps my heart bells ringing. For His love is everything to me. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long, in rapture praise I sing. He's my Savior, He's my King. In His light, I'm going home to glory. With the souls who trust in saving grace, going home to sing and tell His story. In the blessed sunshine of His face, He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long, in rapture praise I sing. He's my Savior, He's my King.
Amen. Turn the service over to Brother Bob.
Good morning.
Morning.
Open your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be reading some verses there from Matthew chapter 25 this morning. Matter of fact, we'll have about two different readings there. And we're talking about giving account to the King. And so here's where we get the lesson from this morning about the King, as we're talking about. And as we've already said, He's not only King, but He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And what a privilege, what an honor to be serving someone like that. And to realize how much He has done for us in our life, to make our life what is possible. And for us to have eternal life and us to have forgiveness of our sins as we live here upon this sinful earth. Matthew chapter 25, let's begin reading in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. And we'll read this account, and then we'll keep your Bible open at that place, because we're going to read again in just a little bit where we leave off from this reading. So Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, Thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joys of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter the joys of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid and hid the talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I had not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we realize in this life in which we live that there are responsibilities that we have to follow. And I think that's what this incident is that we're reading about here. That this man, the ruler or a king, delivered unto his servant some of his property and so forth for them to use while it was gone. And so they were to be accountable for what he had delivered unto them. And we may think of our own self like this. Jesus Christ is our king, and he was here, but he's gone into a far country, and he delivered unto us talents that we are to use. Now, I understand that we're talking about here from Matthew chapter 25 that this was something of monetary value. When we're talking about talents that the Lord has delivered unto us, it may be spiritual talents, the abilities that we have to do things that God has given us this ability, or Jesus has given us this ability, and we're responsible for it just like these men were the money that was given unto them by the ruler. And they realized that he was coming back again and that they would have to give an account for the way they had used these things, the attitude they had toward them and the way they'd used them. Now, we're the same way. Jesus Christ has told us that he's coming again. As a matter of fact, when the disciples stood and watched him go into the heavens, there were two angels that stood there in white and asked him why they were standing gazing into the heaven, that he would come again as they had seen him go. And he himself had promised that he would come again, but we don't know when that time will be. But one day, the king will come back, and we'll have to give an account for the way we have used the talents that the Lord has given unto us. Now, I want to notice a few passages of Scripture with you this morning. I'm not going to necessarily read these, but comment on these passages. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14, it refers to Jesus Christ as appearing as the judge. Now, we're talking about we'll have to give an account. So it's like a judge that we'll stand before, that we'll give an account thereof. In Revelation chapter 17, and at the 14th verse, says that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's not just Lord, but he is Lord of lords. He's the one, in other words. He's not just a king, but he is King of kings, the main one that we're talking about. Again, from Revelation in chapter 19 and the 14th verse, it says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And back in the book of John in chapter 1, Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And so Nathanael knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He knew that he was the King of Israel. So he was not just king, but he was King of kings. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 shows that nothing is hidden from him. Now this is the one that we stand before, the king that we stand before. Nothing is hidden from him. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to his eyes, to the eyes of him of whom we must give an account. So this king that we stand before is not one that is a pushover, not one that we can make him believe that we've done some things that we did not do. But as we're going to notice in the next verse or two, that he's one that knows everything that goes on. He even knows the thoughts of our hearts, the intentions of our hearts. He goes on to show what kind of high priest he really is in verses 14 and 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus Christ then is one who has been there and done that. He's been there where we are. He's been tempted like we've been tempted. And thus we know that we'll have to give an answer to him, and it'll have to be the right kind of answer because he knows everything that we do. We cannot fool him. Now let's begin where we left off in Matthew chapter 25 with verse 31. And notice now this king that we're talking about, as he sits as a king when we stand before him to be judged and what it's going to be like. Verse 31 beginning. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and thirsty, a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now when we look at this and look at Jesus and think about him sitting on the throne, can you imagine now that Jesus sitting on the throne, and here we are gathering before him to hear the final sentence of how we have lived and how we have done. Now, if you can call back when you was a child, you know your parents had certain rules that you would have followed. You'd been taught not to do certain things. Certain things were permissible. But you had to give an account to your parents. And sometimes it was a scary thing because you knew you'd not done the way that you should do. And you knew you were going to be punished for it. Well, this shows the same thing is true here with Jesus Christ when he sits on the throne. We're going to stand before him just like we stood before our parents, and we'll have to give an account for the way we have acted according to the rules that have been set forth. And so Jesus will be sitting on the throne then, and there will be a separation there. Some will be on the right hand, and some will be on the left hand. Now, let me ask you this. Are you ready today for the Lord to come? If Jesus were sitting on the throne today, would you be ready to stand before him? Is your life what it ought to be? Could you be happy to see the Lord coming, or would you be afraid to stand before him on this day? Now, if we'd be afraid to stand before him, then there's some corrections that we need to do in our life to make it right in the sight of God. This is not a plaything. It's something you notice here. It said that these shall go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into life eternal. Now, if you look at this incident that we just read from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. There was not anything that was earth-shaking that the Lord expected these people to do that made the difference. Everything that's mentioned here is the plain, simple, everyday things that we do every day or that we fail to do every day. Those that are hungry, if we feed them. Those that are thirsty, if we give them drink. Those that are sick, that we visit. Those that are strangers, that we show friendship toward them and take them in. This year has been kind of a challenge to everybody with the COVID and so forth. And we know that there have been times when there were family members that was in the hospital and the family members could not even be with them in the hospital. So that's kind of hindered us from being what the Lord expects us to be and do the visiting and showing interest in others that we ought to show. But we do the best we can and try to do what we can to let them know that we're still thinking about them, and we remember them in prayer, even though we cannot be there physically, maybe at this particular time. Hopefully in the near future, we can be. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God, said Paul in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. So each one of us will stand before the Lord. Nobody will miss this judgment. Everybody will be there. And to some it'll be a joyful day, and to some it'll be a sad day, because to those who hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter to the joys of the Lord," could there be anything that would mean more to us, that would be more precious to us, that would sound better than to hear the Lord say that? And yet on the other hand, if we hear him say, "Depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire," could there be anything worse? And so to some there'll be a happy day, to some there'll be a sad day. Matter of fact, the song we sing, there's a great day coming, there's a sad day coming, and that's the difference in the two is whether we've been obedient unto God or not. In John chapter 5, in verse 22, it says, "For the Father judgeth no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." So we know then that the one that sits on the throne will be Jesus Christ, and we'll be judged by him. In Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess unto God." And this is Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. He is not a helpless baby whom people adore around December 25th, but one who grew to manhood. Jesus was born as a child, born of a virgin, but then he grew and prospered and so forth as a child. He grew on into manhood. He assumed his purpose for coming to the earth. Now in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he assumed this purpose for which he came to the earth. He laid the foundation of his kingdom. You remember in Matthew chapter 16 when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and Jesus said, "Upon this rock, upon this foundation, I will build my church." And so he laid the foundation of his kingdom, then suffered and died on the cross to accomplish the work that he came to earth to do. He died there that we might have forgiveness of our sins, that he had no sin himself, but he died for my sins, and he died for yours. So he died there on the cross to accomplish the work that he came to the earth to do. He arose from the dead. He was buried. He arose from the dead on the third day. You remember how that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the first few verses there that he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he arose from the grave on the third day. And then he ascended to the Father in heaven. In Acts chapter 1 and 2, and we find how that these men were there watching, and he ascended up to the Father on high. He ascended up to the Father in heaven, having been given all authority in heaven and earth. Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," and then charged them to go teach the gospel to all nations. Also in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it said that God hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So his magnificence, his power, if we properly consider these things, then it should cause every believer to bow in reverence before him and to confess him as the divine Son of God. Now in Acts chapter 8, when the Ethiopian nobleman, when they came to certain water, he said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Each one of us, when we realize his magnificence, his power, all that he has done, then surely we ought to want to confess him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So let's consider for the next few minutes then a few things about this king that we're talking about. First of all, as we said before, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16, it says, "And he hath on his garment and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And so he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not just a king, not just any king, but the king. He is King of Kings and Lord of lords, not just any Lord, but the one that we must answer to. This would necessarily include several things when we talk about him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It would mean that he was lawmaker. He is the one that had the right to tell us what to do. And we know that this is what it shows, that the gospel was given, and he told his apostles to go preach the gospel, which would tell the story of Jesus, the suffering that he did, and the plan that God had made for salvation for mankind. So Jesus was a lawgiver. Not only that, but it shows him to be final judge. Now, what did it say up here in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12? We shall give an account of ourselves to God. But in the John 5 and verse 22, it says, the Father judgeth no one, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. And so he is the one that is the final judge. And he is one who is active ruler also. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess unto God. And so he is now ruling in his kingdom, or over his kingdom, at the right hand of God. He does not have the human limitations as we do. Now, we're human and we have limitations. All I can see is what my eyes behold. Jesus Christ can see even the inside of us, not just the outside that appears, but he knows even the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So he does not have the human limitations that we do. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their heart may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of fullness, assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, where is that treasures hidden? In Christ Jesus. And so he does not have the human limitations that we do, but all the knowledge and wisdom is hidden in him. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So Jesus Christ has all things. We're complete in him. Fullness of the Godhead bodily is within Jesus Christ our Lord. He is actively reigning on his throne, on the throne of David, at God's right hand at this particular time. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, and Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. Now notice, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hebrews chapter 7 now in verse 25, the Hebrew writer said, therefore he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives and makes intercession for us. So he is reigning now, making intercession for us. He's at the right hand of God. Again from Hebrews in chapter 10, this time verses 12 and 13. He says, for this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till the enemies are made his footstool. Where is Jesus now? At the right hand of God. What is he doing? He's reigning over his kingdom, sitting on the throne of David and reigning and making intercession for us day by day. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Now I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in all righteousness he judges and makes war. So Jesus Christ is the one that's there, sitting at the right hand of God, making judgment and making intercession for us. He's not idle. He's working. He's doing something. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And again from Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So where is he? He's at the right hand of God and reigning over his king. He's not idle, but busy. Verse 21 of that scripture says also, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working of by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So there'll be a change. Those of us who may be living when the Lord comes back again will be changed. That body will be changed according to his glorious body and not the flesh and blood that we may know here. So Jesus Christ is not idle, but he is at the right hand of God, ruling over his kingdom, making intercession for us day by day. He observes his people in all the local churches and knows what we are doing or what we're failing to do. Now, I suppose Revelation would be as good a place to go as any to show this. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we'll notice a couple readings there that will show this to be true, that Jesus knows what's going on, that he is aware of what we're doing or what we're failing to do. Revelation chapter 2. And we'll begin reading with verse 1 of Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how that thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, he says, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And so Jesus knows what's going on. Now turn over to the third chapter of the book of Revelation, and we'll notice another. Now this is the seven churches of Asia that we're talking about here. So we noticed the first one. Now we'll notice the last one in Laodicea, verse 14. Of chapter 3 of Revelation. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, this shows us then that the Lord is not idle. The Lord knows what's going on. He observes the local congregations and what's going on in the congregations. He knows when we're at peace. He knows when we're working. He knows when we're idle. And so in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, then the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto punishment of the day of judgment. And so here Jesus knows what all's going on in the churches. He is light and dwells in light, and he has given us light to walk in. Now let's go back to John again and read a few verses from John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 1. Get back to it in my Bible here. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus Christ then came into the world as a light. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 32, it says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Also in John 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, we read, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and if we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, we also have fellowship with the Father. And so we're to walk in light and not in darkness. His word is light. In Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105, he said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and light unto my path. Also, the 130th verse of that 119th chapter says, the opening of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And so the opening of the word, the studying of God's word, gives us light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, he said, and light unto my path. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the glorious, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them or should not shine upon them. So the devil tries to keep that gospel away from people unless they see that light and they are obedient to the gospel of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So God wants us to walk in light. If we walk in his word, we are walking in the light. If we walk in the light, we're walking in his word. And if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with him. And if we have fellowship with him, we have also fellowship with the Father. And if we don't have fellowship with him, we don't have fellowship with the Father, and we're in bad shape if we don't have the fellowship of Jesus Christ and the Father. By way of conclusion to our lesson today, it's easy for us to adore a baby that cannot tell us what to do. And this is what a lot of people look upon Jesus as a child born of a virgin along about 25th of December. You see all kind of scenes that portray this. But it takes true humility to love and adore a King of kings and a Lord of lords who governs every aspect of our lives and knows our every thought and even the intentions of the heart. So it takes humility then to adore Jesus and to love him when we know he's the one who tells us what to do, and some of the things he tells us to do goes against our desires and the things that we would normally do. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of Christ is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and both of joint and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before him, before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So Jesus knows everything about us. He knows not just what we're doing or what we've done, but he knows what we've even thought about doing, what the intents of the heart is. And so it's kind of scary when we think about standing before someone like this. And yet, on the other hand, it ought to be joyous because Jesus Christ has been there. He's been tempted just like we've been tempted. He knows what it's all about. He's not one that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has compassion on us. That doesn't mean he's going to let us get by with sin, but he has compassion on us. He knows how difficult it is for us to live the Christian life. And God has said that he will make a way of escape, that he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear. But we'll make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And so we just have to look for that way of escape that the Lord has made, and realize that one day we'll have to give an account of our deeds and how we have acted and how we have lived here upon this earth. If we gave food to those who were hungry and thirsty, water to those who were thirsty, if we paid attention to those who were strangers and tried to make them feel welcome, those who were sick and in prison, did we visit them? All these are simple things, and yet these are things that make the difference in whether we'll go away into everlasting punishment or everlasting life. The lesson is yours this morning. One day we'll have to give an account to the King, and hopefully we'll be one that will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joys of the Lord." If you need to obey the gospel, come while we stand and as we sing together.
Who will follow Jesus standing for the ride, holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey? Who will follow Jesus serving him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, "I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I"? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, "I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I"? Who will follow Jesus in his work of love, leading others to him, lifting prayers above? Courage, faithful servant, in his word we see, on our side forever will the Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, "I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I"? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, "I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I"?
Amen. Please be seated.
To thank Brother Bobby for an excellent lesson this morning. Very encouraging words, but words to help us focus on, again, who the ruler is in our life and who we're going to have to make an account toward. We take this time in our service this morning to help prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we're going to sing the song, "King Most High," to help us do that before Brother Kevin comes up and gives us some words to focus our thoughts as we prepare our minds to partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine that represents the body and the blood that was shed for us. We're going to be singing the first, second, and fourth verse of "King Most High."
From the earth, from the sky, praise for the joyful cry. Our Lord is King Most High, crucified, he revived. That's why he's King Most High, my Lord. and he will hear my cry. He'll ever live and ever reign, my Lord and King Most High. Humble birth held no worth till angel voice sang forth, a king is born this day. Then the earth was aware its hope had come to stay. My Lord is great and good, and he will hear my cry. He'll ever live and ever reign, my Lord and King Most High. Darkest power he ordained, life for me he regained. A prophet e'er to die, priest forever on his throne. Lord God, my King Most High, my Lord is great and good, and he will hear cry. He'll ever live and ever reign, my Lord and King Most High.
Amen.
Good morning. If you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets here witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Peter began the message by proclaiming that God truly shows no partiality, no favoritism. All who fears God, all who does righteousness, is accepted by God. Jesus was anointed by God. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing those things that were good because God was with him. Yet despite it all, he was despised. He was rejected. He was hung on a cross, but God raised him up on the third day as witnessed by the apostles. And the apostles, as they had been commanded by Jesus, continued the work by preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God who died on the cross so that all who believes in him can have forgiveness of sins. This table is a reminder of that event, of the event that led to us being afforded the opportunity to have the forgiveness of our sins. Paul showed that power that is contained within Jesus' death and is available to all when in Romans 1 and 16 he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also the Greek. Let us pray. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have now to gather around the table to remember the death that Jesus had, the cruel cross that he was hung upon. Father, the power that you displayed in raising him up on the third day. Father, the thankfulness that we have, knowing that it's through his death that we can have the forgiveness of sins. Father, as we take of this bread, let us remember the sacrifice that Jesus had. Let us remember what this is meant to represent. His body as it hung on the cross. His willingness to go to that cross, the love that you displayed in taking him to that cross, the power that you showed in raising him up. Father, help us to always do those things which are right, and as we gather around the table this morning, let us remember that sacrifice. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear God, as we come together again today, please help us to keep in mind the sacrifice that you gave to us and the blood that was shed so that we would be forgiven and saved and join you again one day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did we accidentally overlook anyone? That concludes the Lord's Supper. Supper in an apartment, we now have an opportunity to give back a portion of that we've been blessed with. As it was announced by Tim last week, we're going to resume coming around for the contribution. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a minute. So if you will, we're not going to pass the basket itself, but if you can, just drop. We'll come in front of you. Just drop in anything that you may have. You can also still, if you would prefer, drop it in the box that we still have outside. So you've got options there. Okay? If you will, pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, again, we come to you in prayer, thankful for this day and thankful for all that you do for us. Father, for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. Father, we're thankful now for this opportunity that we have to give back a portion of that you've blessed us with. Help us to always, in everything we do, bring glory and honor to your name, and we hope we do so in giving this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, singing all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name
Sure. You want to know? Nope. Oh, if you got some, there you go ahead.
So I was prepared with a few notes this morning. Just a few. Oh, wait, that's not the right ones. Certainly want to remember those that were mentioned earlier that's in need of our prayers. But just real quick, Tim and I have been talking over the last couple of weeks. And for the men of the congregation, just to kind of let you know, we're going to start reaching out and getting some of you involved in our different parts of the worship service, so just kind of be prepared for that, okay? And then don't forget, we've got a couple more Sundays, but Sunday, November the 22nd, we've asked Bobby to do an abbreviated sermon on Thanksgiving, or giving thanks, so that then we can also have our service that we typically do with Thanksgiving. So don't forget, you've got a couple more Sundays that you can turn in what you'd like to have made known about what Thanksgiving is that you may have. For those that may be listening or joining us on Facebook Live, I think website, can they leave something on the website? If not, debhinson@charter.net. DebHinson, debhinson@charter.net. We'll be more than happy to take the Thanksgiving that way as well. So we'll now be led in a closing song and then a closing word of prayer.
We're going to close out this morning with singing the first verse of We Shall See the King Someday. I thought this was a good song to close with this morning. And then after we sing this song, I asked my dad if he would to say our word of closing prayer today. All right. We shall see the King someday. Let's sing.
Though the way we journey may be often drear, we shall see the King someday. On that blessed morning, clouds will disappear. We shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gather round the throne when he shall call his own. We shall see the King someday.